Paul, as he writes to Timothy and writes wonderfully about the grace of God. And this morning we shared six elements of grace that he touches on here that we'll be looking at tonight. The first one is the source of grace. The second one is the need for grace. The third one is the power of grace. The fourth one is the extent of grace. The fifth one is the purpose of grace. And the sixth one is the response of grace. And are we online yet, brother?
Yes.
Okay, I want to welcome everybody that's watching online. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be beginning tonight reading the Word of God and studying through it together with the 12th verse of the first chapter of 1 Timothy as Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he is sharing with him about the grace of God. And I think he's sharing with him because he realizes in his own life, as he looks at his life, and to understand the grace of God, you have to understand who you were before grace and who you are now after grace, or it won't mean all that it should to you. And then looking forward to what grace is bringing in your life and what grace will ultimately bring to your life in eternity. And so as Paul writes to Timothy, this is something he wants him to be sure and carry on as he shares with him. And if anyone knows how great the grace of God is, it would be the Apostle Paul, because of who he was before he was saved on the Damascus Road. And you have to realize this man was a mutilator, an imprisoner, a murderer of Christians, ignorant to what he was doing, thinking he was doing the work of God until he met Christ on the Damascus Road. And as we think about that, and we think about him traveling down the road, going to persecute other Christians, going to shut down churches wherever he could, whatever he could do to stop the wave and the movement of Christianity, and there having this encounter with Christ himself on the Damascus Road, what a sudden turn of events that was in his life. Now think about that, and think about your own salvation. Think about who you were, what you were like, what your life was like prior to the grace of God breaking into your life, prior to the Holy Spirit of God breaking into your life. Think about that for a moment. And then multiply that to the nth degree, and that's who Paul was. Because you've never, I don't think any of you ever murdered anybody, imprisoned anybody, went into houses where Christians was and had them drug out there at the stoning of Stephen, and all the things that he has approved of, seen, and gone through. And now here he is on mission for Jesus Christ, and he's writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, and he's telling him about the grace of God. And I can identify with that. Now, I haven't murdered anybody, just an armadillo. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't sent anybody to prison. I haven't done all those things that he did. But my life as an individual was a wreck before Jesus Christ. And I look at my life then and I think about what it was like and what I was like and what I experienced in my life then. And then I turn it over to the other side of where grace broke into my life. And it's a totally different person, a totally different individual. And that's who Paul was when we see him writing here. And so we begin in the first chapter and we begin in the 12th verse. And he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And we mentioned that Christ Jesus was something He liked to say Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. Over and over again, he would say Christ and then Jesus. And he says here, and he begins this writing in the 12th verse, grateful I am. When he says thankful, he's thinking about what his life was like before, what happened on the Damascus Road, and then what he is now and who he is now. And he says, grateful I am. Grateful we are. Much grateful what we have in Christ. And so this is where it begins. And I'm going to read scripture, and then I'm going to go back and talk about grace, and then we're going to start down through each one of these elements of grace. He says, grateful I am, or I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointed me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Verse 16, but for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I want to read you MacArthur's writings on what grace is. And it says this. It says, grace is God's loving forgiveness, exemption from judgment, promise of temporal and eternal blessing, given to guilty and condemned sinners freely, without any worthiness on their part, based on nothing they have done or failed to do. Now I'm going to go over that again because this is really good for me. This is really very. First of all, God's loving forgiveness. I cannot imagine that God could just not only forgive, but even forget and wipe away my sin. God's loving forgiveness. You have that in the grace of God. God's loving forgiveness. Secondly, your exemption from judgment. Your exemption from judgment. Now that's not talking about the judgment seat of Christ where we'll receive rewards for how we've lived our life as a Christian, but it is exemption from eternal damnation and the wrath of God. Exemption from judgment. Promise of temporal and eternal blessings. Promise of temporal and eternal blessings. Just think about how God's blessed your life. Just think about the when I really stopped, and while Paul was in, he and I talked about this quite a bit, because one thing that has blessed my life is the people that God has placed in my life. You just think about it. Think about the people God has placed in your life that have been such a blessing to you. I mean, it's unbelievable. There used to be a fella in Paducah, Kentucky, and his name was Bobby Clanky. Anybody remember a man by that name, Bobby Clanky? Well, he had a barber shop in Paducah. It was called The Man's World. and that's where I got my hair cut. And so he was a real good friend of mine. His dad was a deacon at Waldo and just a great guy. But he told me one day, he said, "Jack Russell," he said, "it is unbelievable the way God has blessed you." And I said, "I know it, brother." I said, "I know that for a fact. It is unbelievable that he has allowed me to see the different people come through this church. He's allowed 7 ministers to be called under my ministry, and 2 of them very close to me, Brother Paul Worsher and Brother Trad York, who have been called out in the ministry, and I have worked together with them here in the ministry, and so they were very precious to me. And then Nate and Aaron and David and Caleb and you. And you look back on your life and you see how those people have affected your life. You see how they have made a difference in your life. How God has allowed you to meet them, to be a part of them, and they have blessed your life. And so this guy right here, Henry Brown, we've known each other since school. We went through school together. I was a lot smarter than Henry, but that's all right too. But anyway, we had good times together. I remember his wife, Dorothy. We used to go down there and play Uno. And I'm pretty sure Henry and Dorothy cheated, but except when Henry and I were on the same side, and we never cheated. But it was a great, you just think over the years, the fellowship, the sweet fellowship that you have had. I've had my sister for 90 years now. For 90 years. And we celebrated her birthday party here yesterday at noon. And I told them then, I said, "My sister is one of the most courageous, bubbly, energetic people I have ever known in all my life." She lost her husband, her daughter, her son, and she's like the Energizer Bunny, especially when she talks, and she just goes on and on. Those people, you know, our family's not very big. They're just she and I left, and my son and my granddaughters and my great-grandchildren is all that's left in our family still here, besides my niece, Jennifer Bone, and their family. But you just think about this family. Think about Lewis Moore back there. And think about his late wife that passed away. What a blessing they were to me. What a blessing they were to me. And each one that has come through here that God has used in such a mighty way. What a blessing that is. So you think about not only God's loving forgiveness, exemption from judgment, promise of temporal and then eternal blessings that we cannot even imagine in our wildest imagination. Who was it given to? Guilty and condemned sinners. Guilty and condemned sinners. Paul knew that's what he had been. A guilty and condemned sinner. Someone said, "Where much is given, much is expected." And Paul sure lived that out in his lifetime. He realized how much had been given him by the grace of God. You know, I preached your sermon here, I don't know how long it's been, 2 or 3 years ago or whatever it was. I can't remember. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. But anyway, where was Paul before the Damascus Road? And where were you before your salvation? You were on death row. You were on death row. Sentence had already been laid out. All that was waiting was judgment. All that was waiting was judgment. And you know, then I think, about what is important in Noah's life. What is important in my life? What is important in your life? And you know what used to be important in my life isn't important in my life anymore. I mean, people said I traded cars more than I traded breasts. I had a different car almost, well, every 2 years, probably. And I thought that was really something, you know. And I looked forward to what I could get and what I could gain. And those things are meaningless to me now. And I think back to because I look across the street and I look around our neighborhood and I see people that never go to church. I see people that, for all I know, they are lost. They're under condemnation. If they were to die today, they'd spend an eternal punishment in hell. It's like you visit somebody, Brother Charlie. Let's say you and I go visit somebody in prison on death row. That's where the Apostle Paul was before the Damascus Road. And he's sentenced to the electric chair. Okay? He's sentenced to the electric chair. And you and I go visit him. Okay? Well, Benzis is pretend like. We pretend like you and I got money. This is a big pretend, Charlie. You and I got a lot of money. We got a lot of money. And we go to him and we say, Brother, we're really sorry for the position you're in, but we have decided to give you $500,000. We've decided, Brother Charlie and I, we're going to give you $100,000. And what would he say, Brother Charlie? He'd say, that means absolutely nothing to me. I don't need $100,000. I need a pardon. Huh? Yeah. Or let's say we went to see him and we said, well, we'll give you $5 million. $5 million. What would he say? I don't need $5 million. I need a pardon. I need to be forgiven. I need a pardon. Don't you see? I'm on death row. Don't you see? I'm standing before the judgment. The judge has already sentenced me. Don't you see? I need a pardon. I don't care what kind of car I drive. I don't care how much money's in the bank. I don't care how big a house I live in. I don't care what kind of clothes I wear. I don't care about any of those things because it doesn't matter. What I need is a pardon. And that's what Jesus did for me on death row. He gave me a pardon. Did I deserve it? Absolutely not. Guilty? Absolutely was. Could I do anything about it? Not at all. So when he says here, given to guilty and condemned sinners freely. Amen? You can't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It was just given to you freely. And then he says, without any worthiness on their part. I didn't deserve anything. I deserved hell. I deserved condemnation. I deserved the wrath of God. That's what the world doesn't understand. That's what I deserve. But what did I get? I got Jesus. I got grace. I got a pardon. I got a pardon. He goes on to say, based on nothing they have done or failed to do. Based on nothing but the grace of God. Just the grace of loving kindness of God is the only thing we've got to brag about. And that is only it. All right. Now Paul begins. The source of grace. Grateful I am I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we know where the source of grace comes from, right? Christ Jesus our Lord. You go on down to verse 14. The grace of our Lord. The grace of our Lord. You go on down to verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. Source of grace. The source and the only source of grace is Almighty God. Romans 3:24 says that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, Paul says, I am the least of the apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, now listen to what he says, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. But the grace of God which was with me. So what's he saying here? He's saying, I am forgiven, I am saved, I am pardoned, but the grace of God. But that's not a whole story. The whole story is the grace of God is sufficient for everything and every day in my life. As I go on, the grace of God empowers me. The grace of God gives me the strength to go on. The grace of God motivates me to go on. He says here, I have done more than all the others, but it wasn't me doing it. It was God's grace that lives in me. And that's what you got to see. That's what you got to see. Because in myself, I am good for nothing. There is no good thing in me but Christ Jesus Himself. And it is Christ Jesus in His grace in me that allows me to do and empowers me to do and carries me to do what I do. It is not anything about me. It is all about Christ Jesus and His grace in me. Not just the grace for salvation at the time of justification and regeneration, but the grace of God that dwells in me, that carries me through every day of my life and leads me on through every day of my life. That grace is always sufficient. And that's what he's talking about here. And that source of grace can only come from one place, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord. And I hope you lay hold of how important that really is. I know Nate can identify with this, and Aaron and others on our staff. But let me tell you something. I have come in this building and preached when I probably should have been in the hospital. I've come in this building and preached when I felt terrible. I have come in this building and preached when I thought I could not go on. But I'll tell you this, God, when I showed up, grace showed up. And when grace showed up, I always had the strength to do it, not because it was my strength, but because it was His strength through grace. And when I would leave, I would feel better than before I came because I had experienced the grace of God working through me. And you have to understand that as a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist or whoever you are in serving the Lord, you have to understand that it is not about you, it's about Him. And His grace is always sufficient for what you need in your life. And when you experience that in your life, it motivates you to go on, to go on, and to go on. And that's what we are to do as Christians. Each and every day of our life, we are to go on in our faith, in our fortitude, in our belief, in our doctrine, And in our message as a witness that we're to go on by the grace of God. You got it? Okay, shake your head like this. All right. Okay, now then, four features of the grace he's talking about. He talks about it right here. First of all, he says, I'm grateful I am, or I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. All right, what's the first thing that we experience in our life when we're saved? First of all, we have experienced God's electing grace. From before the foundation of the earth, before you were ever born, God poured out his electing grace on you that you might be called out of darkness one day into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit would break into your life. It would convict you of your sins. It would justify you before a holy God, leading you to repentance by the goodness of God. And suddenly you became a new creation in Christ, and you changed from heart to soul because of the work of Christ in you, and you were a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it had nothing to do because you were good enough, because you weren't. It had nothing to do because you had done something good, because you didn't. It had nothing to do with anything at all except Almighty God. And I think about that and I think, I am truly blessed. I am truly blessed. Now that's the first thing he talked about. And he says this over and over again. In Acts 26:16, it says of him, I have chosen you, listen to this, God says, I have chosen you to make you an apostle. I have chosen you to make you an apostle. Somebody comes to me and says, I think God's calling me into the ministry. I always tell them the same thing. Hey, if you can, go do something else. Because if God's really chosen you, you won't be able to do anything else. You won't be able to do anything. You'll never have peace. You'll never have joy. You'll never have life fulfilled until you do what God has called you to do. Man, I'm a happy guy. I'm driving. Well, this all took place over several months. I'm laying in bed at night. Now, get this. I work at CTS Corporation on North 8th Street, Paducah, Kentucky. I am an inspector. That's what I do, okay? I'm an inspector on the second shift. I inspect. Don't have to go through all that, what that means. That means I check things, make sure they're right, okay? I'm an inspector. That's what I do, okay? I've been saved. Go to church every Sunday. Love it. And suddenly, I'm laying in bed at night, and of all things, sermons begin to go through my head. Sermons begin to go through my head. I'm laying in bed at night, and this is going on. And I'm thinking, what in the world? What in the world is this? And I'm not talking about sermons I heard somebody preach. I'm talking about sermons that come out of Scripture, that Scripture is lining up in my head. Lining up in my head. And so I'm thinking, what do you make of this? Well, I'm scared to death. Remember, I'm an introvert. I don't get in front of anybody. You wouldn't know that today. But I wouldn't get in front of anybody and talk. People come hear me preach just to see if I could talk. They were amazed. But it wasn't me. Okay, so, man, this is going on in my life. And I'm feeling like, man, something's happening to me. I mean, this is the same kind of experience I had when I was saved.
And I'm thinking, no. You've got your job, you've been to college, you've got this, and this, and you got your wife at home, you got a son, you got this, and you're going to go to work and all this. Suddenly, it hits me. God's calling me into the ministry. Man. Not only am I thinking about me, I'm thinking about my wife, my son, my parents, my friends. I'm going to see my friends now. Oh, I'm going to be a preacher. You got to be kidding. And I'm driving from Brookport to Metropolis. And it just hits me. Like old Paul on the Damascus Road. I've been saved, yeah. I know I'm going to heaven, yeah. Christ in me, yeah. And right there driving from Brookport to Metropolis, about along in there where Veach's was, tears start running down my face. And I say, Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. And the very moment I said that in my heart and in my mouth, a peace flooded over me like a washing of water. And it was almost the same feeling as the day I was saved. And then I had to go home and tell my wife. And you think I was scared. I'm going back to school. I'm going to Bible college. What am I saying all this for? What I'm saying is how personally God knows you, and how personally God loves you, and how personally God wants to work in your life. If He would do it like a country boy like me from Massac County, man, He does the same thing for you. He may not call you into the ministry, but He knows everything about you. He puts people in your life that become such a blessing to you. He pours out His love on you. Pours out His grace, this grace upon your life. And you experience it in your life and you say, God, You are so good. You are so good. And then you think about it and you say, I haven't even scratched the surface yet. If this is so good, what is eternity with Jesus going to be like? What is eternity with Jesus going to be like? And so, now, electing grace, chosen. Then there is enabling grace. He gives me strength. He gives me strength. Who has given me strength? Who has given me strength? Verse 12. I've told you how you know, I sometimes look at myself in the mirror. Now, we're just talking now, okay? And when I look at myself in the mirror and I say, you're 80 years old. You need to quit doing what you're doing. You're an old guy. You need to hang this thing up. Believe me, I think about things like that. Because you all are really important to me. And God says, who do you think's doing this anyway? 80-year-old man or the God that spoke the universe into existence? I'm just using you to show people what I can do. You just keep showing up. If you show up, I'll show up. And when I show up, they're going to see what I can do. And the weaker you get, the more strength they'll see out of me. So you get weaker, but I get stronger in you. And I get stronger in you. They see less of you, and they see more of me. That's what Paul's writing about. Enabling grace. Enabling grace of God to be able to go on from where we are. I tell people all the time, Brother Charlie, I'm picking on you and Lewis and hardly anybody, Janice, Anna, Tina, Judy, I'm way past Judy. It's all old folks, okay? I tell them all the time, I say, it's getting old's not for sissies. Not for sissies. You got to be tough to be old. You know what I'm talking about? You remember you had one of them blisters on you, Brother Charlie? Man, I hurt for you. And I prayed, oh God, I don't want what Charlie's got. I hope you heal him, but don't let me get it. I don't want what Charlie's got. You know. But God's enabling grace keeps you going on. And God's enabling grace keeps Lewis going on. And God's enabling grace keeps me going on. And that's what Paul was writing about. You young people, you just wait. Because my dad I'd go see my dad. You see, Nate, I'm sort of a storyteller when I preach too. That's just me. I'm different. I'd see my dad and I'd say, well, Dad, how you feel? He'd say, son, I hurt every day. I'd say, all you could. I'm telling you, son, I hurt every day. I'm beginning to find out he was telling me the truth. He was telling me the truth. And so we see this as the enabling grace of God who enabled me. He enabled him to go on. What did he say in Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The enabling grace of God. And I got one more and then we're going to go to prayer meeting. The entrusting grace, appointing me to His service. The entrusting grace of God. You see, Paul couldn't get over the fact that God not only saved him, God not only chose him to be saved, elected him to be saved, but God chose him to be an apostle. Can you imagine that? Well, I couldn't get over the fact that God chose me to be a preacher. Can you never get over that? That it's not me, it's him. The entrusted grace of God in his life, he couldn't get over that. How the King of the universe had created everything by the spoken word reached down and touched Paul and changed his life on the Damascus Road and called him not only to be saved, but called him to be an apostle. And then enabled him to do that. Empowered him to do that. Entrusted him to do that. Entrusted him with what? The souls of people. Entrusted him with the gospel. Entrusted him with a message of Jesus Christ. He could not get over that. So when he talks about the grace of God, these are the things that he's talking about, that is going through his mind as he talks to Timothy, because he understands how important they'll be for Timothy as he goes on in the ministry in his own life, that he relies upon God.